global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by the Professional MBA at Bentley University, offering streamlined admissions to working professionals like you and the ability to set your own pace because your experience matters. Learn more at bentley.edu/PMBA. Shenda Group, a Singapore-based investment holding company, agreed to buy a 9.9% stake in money manager Legg Mason from activist investor Trian Fund Management. Stocks are rising with commodities while the yen slips and government bonds fell. As crude oil's advance above $40 a barrel boosts economic optimism. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures up 5.5 points, Dow E-mini futures up 30, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 11.5. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%, and the CAC in Paris and FT100, little change. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, the yield 1.75%, yield on the 2-year 0.72%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 40 cents to $40.77 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $4.60 to $12.62.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1409, the yen, 108.31. Juniper Networks is down more than 9.5% this morning after its first quarter profit and revenue fell short of projections amid sluggish demand. Fastenal is down more than 4% after also posting sales and earnings that missed the average analyst estimate. And Alcoa down 3.5% after the largest U.S. aluminum producer cut its forecast for global demand. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Excuse me, Michael.
Oh, thank you very much, Karen. We both are being very polite this morning.
We have all sorts of signals, folks, in our ears so we don't step on each other. So when we do step on each other, it's a rare occurrence.
Yeah. Well, I want to point out, Tom, it is on. The fight of the century. The New York Fed versus the Atlanta Fed.
We spent, and
you and I talked about this yesterday. We spent a lot of time talking about the Atlanta Fed GDP Now tracker.
Yeah.
The New York Fed today introducing their own GDP Now tracker.
Come on, Bob, Mr. Dudley, if you're listening, come on. Do we need this?
Atlanta Fed GDP Now says that first quarter growth has, at the moment, measured 0.1%. The Atlanta Fed, the New York Fed nowcast is saying 1.1%. So there is a dispersion of views on the economy in the quarter.
And part of this, folks, is revisions. I think we're pretty good about this, Mike. You're, of course, excellent about this. Wait for us, Mike, the importance of the first, the second, and the third look at GDP. I would say 90% of the media focus is on the first look. How would you weight the importance of those three GDP looks?
Well, from an economics point of view, you'd put 90% on the third one.
Yeah, but we don't.
Actually, there's a fourth revision, which comes almost a year later when they go through the tax receipts and they come up with an accurate number and revise the figures. That's what we really saw. But you don't have that to trade on. So the first one obviously gets the most attention. Everybody trades on what it is. And the Atlanta Fed does revise theirs as the GDP numbers get revised. But nobody goes back and looks at the old ones.
Yeah, I want to point out, and it's given back a little bit. The story's not what it was an hour ago. One of the shifts in the last 2 days, it has been yen, 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 yen. And with a vengeance, X amount of hours, 12 hours ago, the euro took over. And we really had a buoyant euro this morning, a stronger euro. I'm going to get that GIP chart up and give you the number. We got the 114.65. And I just think there's got to be a lot of attention paid to the why, Mike, behind stronger euro calls, weaker dollar calls. Or Steve Sewell of BNP Paribas, Eric Nielsen, UniCredit, and others really beginning to commit to a stronger euro, weaker dollar world. That changes a lot of the dynamics of the things we talk about.
It changes kind of what Mario Draghi's options are going forward. If he can't, it was the same thing for Haruhiko Kuroda. If they can't lower their currency's value through monetary policy, they're kind of out of ammunition.
Looking here at NIIMF on the a screen. We don't have the Outlook out yet. It's 7:51 Washington time, but we'll get that later today. And, Mike, as you mentioned earlier, it's a presumed reset and recalibration down. To me, it's really a victory lap for Madame Lagarde and her theme of new mediocre. She gave that speech at Georgetown University, and it's not that people laughed at her. They just said, you know, well, there goes the IMF again, gloomy again. And in hindsight, she looks pretty smart.
Well, the IMF has been out front, along with some very prescient people in the markets, and saying we weren't going to see a lot of growth here. The question is, you know, is what they say catching up to what the markets already think?
We want to give you the perspective on why. Robert Cinch is with Amherst Pierpont. Bob, good morning. Why is the euro all of a sudden strength and leading what I'll call currency dynamics now versus the yen over the last 2 weeks? What happened with the euro?
You know, Tom, I think there's some interesting developments going on with all the sort of non-dollar exchange rates here. Dollar a lot weaker than normal cyclical relationships, things like interest rate differentials, risk appetite, et cetera, would suggest. And, you know, we have to go back to the last G20 meeting when China expressed their concern that while the Chinese exchange rate had stabilized versus the dollar, it obviously rode the dollar's coattails higher against all these other currencies. You have to wonder who's been buying these currencies now. Obviously, negative interest rates in Japan and the Eurozone. What's the reason for people to go out and start buying yen and euros? And one thing that could be going on in the background is that China could be quietly, you know, reallocating some of their reserve positions into those currencies as a way of strengthening those currencies versus the Chinese yuan.
Michael McKee led the world yesterday in the importance of Jack Lew's comments. Were you taken aback by the Secretary of the Treasury saying to the IMF, just do something? Was that a bit odd?
Yeah, I think it was a bit odd, and I think that a lot of policymakers are maybe looking to the IMF for a bit of a green light to move forward on fiscal policy. You know, exchange rate policy, kind of a zero-sum game, and we're seeing that battle go on, and the Chinese currency is the one that's really been weakening up here in the last couple of months against the yen. We just noted this morning the yen is up over 15% against the Chinese currency in less than a year. So the currency game goes on, but it's kind of a zero-sum game. Monetary policy increasingly tapped out around the world. So what's left is fiscal policy. Now, you know, the IMF has been one of those guardians of fiscal restraint around the world, and you wonder whether there's now a case beginning to be built to say we need fiscal stimulus around the world, and maybe the IMF should begin to help that process.
You look at the Chinese yuan versus the dollar, and then you look at the Chinese yuan versus a basket of currencies, and the basket has shown an enormous deterioration, a real weakening, much more so than the dollar. So are we paying attention to the wrong thing when we quote the yuan against the dollar?
I think increasingly we are. I think the Chinese are certainly looked at it on a trade-weighted basis. The other interesting thing is that when the Chinese currency moves 1, 2, 3% against the dollar, the world gets in a tizzy. You know, we saw that last August. We saw that in January with movements in dollar yuan creating tremendous risk aversion in global markets. And you wonder whether the Chinese have said, okay, we won't move dollar yuan, but we might move some money into euros and yen, push those currencies up. And here we've had this big move in the yen versus the yuan, and nobody's paid any attention. Risk appetite's fine. Global markets are moving right along. And it's kind of ironic because these cross rates matter just as much, but the market is so focused on the exchange rate versus the dollar and all the political and economic implications of that, that they completely ignore the movements in the Chinese currency against others. And 15% movement of the yuan versus the yen in the last 9 months or so, I think is one of those factors that's pushing the Japanese economy back into recession.
We're going to have to leave it there. Bob Cinch on short notice. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. I'm going to put out on Bloomberg Radio Plus that huge move. It's something we can do at Bloomberg. It's not just dollar, yen, or euro dollar. Looking at yen renminbi. And it is a massive move that we have seen from September and late August here of strong yen, weak Chinese currency. And again, you heard Mr. Cinch just say that that may affect the real economy of Japan as well. What we've got is 2 days of a risk-on feel led by weaker dollar, not as weak as it was 2 hours ago, but 93.89 on that blended DXY is important. Let me give you those weightings right now. DXY Go on the Bloomberg will make you smarter, 58%, euro 14%, yen 12%, pound Canada 9%, Sweden 4%, and Swiss franc 4%. So the DXY old trading partners and indicating, excuse me, off of strong euro and strong sterling, 143.15, a weaker dollar. Another hour of Bloomberg surveillance.